I can't quite figure out what that porn would be with that description. It's all very vague.
Oh, hello.
How's that laugh feeling, Sarah? Why can't you laugh again? You cracked a rib or something?
I have the Merc flu.
The best part was how you wheezed it out. I have the Merc flu.
Yeah. I felt better.
You're like that crazy aunt at Pet Cemetery. She's up in the attic. All right. Is it a minute? How is it a minute after already? Well, what are you going to do? Where does the time go, kids? It's a minute and 3 seconds after the hour of 12, and this the month of June in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming along and making it part of your listening day. Oh, I can sense it's going to be one for the record books today. 503-733-2970. I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh at your pain, but it's like you're wearing some sort of cinchy corset, and every time you laugh, you kind of go, ow.
I have developed a six-pack over, like, the past week, honestly, from trying not to cough.
Okay.
Good time.
I can't even tell you what we were talking about before the microphones went. Literally, I can't.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard.
I suppose legally it's broadcastable, but I just couldn't say it and feel good about myself. Oh, my God. I will tell you this, though, that it contained the phrase nun porn. And when I say nun porn, I don't mean some pidgin English like you're out of it. I'm out of it. I got nun porn. No, I mean literally it's like nun, like a N-U-N.
Like in Richard Nunn?
Like not as in Richard. Well, one never knows. I don't even know how it started. We were talking about something, and please don't remind me. We were talking about something right as the microphones went on, which again, I keep reiterating this, so we had to start charging for that. For the 5 minutes before the show actually begins. We were talking about something or other, and then Tim, and it's always Tim, by the way, who uses these phrases. Phrases like, he cursed Aunt Jemima for the rest of his days, which is already now spread all over the internet.
I'm glad we're adding something to the culture.
Adding something to the cultural lexicon. We were talking about something right as the microphones went on, and out of Tim's mouth in a context that I can't remember was the phrase, and then I looked up and the screen was filled with nun porn. Except it wasn't just nun porn. I can't really...
Yeah, the phrase was worse than that.
The phrase was worse than that.
But he didn't say it as looking on the screen. He just kind of said...
He implies it's...
It was there for all to see. And since I was the only one in the studio, naturally I saw it.
Tim implied that when we were at Intercom, he at one point looked up at the screen in the studio, just sort of glanced up.
As I was coming in the morning.
As he was coming in the morning, not like halfway through his work day. Not like halfway through his porn surfing day at Intercom. He just looked up at the screen at the very beginning of the day when he came in. And the screen was filled with images of nuns engaged in intimate behavior that were staged to look as though they were non-consensual.
That's you a all good
just,
way of saying it.
You did all just figure that out yourself. He is a journalist, so this is a journalistic discussion of said nun porn. Jesus, God. And Sarah's dying of the bird flu, just so you know. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2.
I think I really might be, though, because I slept like 11 hours last night.
And you're growing a beak?
I can't stop coughing.
Okay. Well, there you go. Breathe right over here.
At least I'm going to be the first sweep.
Yes, your place.
Your time is to come.
The history books will be... Your suffering will soon be over. Ours has just begun.
And before the birds have found, they'll rip people's eyeballs right out of the sockets.
Why do you say these things?
it just reminds me of an Alfred Hitchcock.
Oh, yeah. You're going all Tippi Hedren on it. You kind of look like Tippi Hedren a little bit. I can see that. A little bit. All right. Okay.
Back in the day.
Start again.
The birds.
Yeah, not now, of course. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com, although I don't really understand what you'd be emailing about at this point. Probably just more mystery sound crap. You don't even know. You can't even...
Has anyone emailed the correct guess?
You cannot know. You cannot conceive the number of emails that come in. They're no longer... It's... Usually, here's the way it is with the email. It's they come in, you know, all hot and heavy between like 11 and 3. you know, people start thinking about the show or they're listening or whatever. And then around 3, they, you know, the emails, they sort of taper off. You know, and I get it, you know, the emails, you know, they slow to a steady sort of stream throughout the rest of the day. I usually get them between noon and 3. The last couple of days, man, it's like 24-7. I check my inbox. You have 15 new. It is a constant. People are calling now. Look at this. You're calling now. I'll guarantee you that these are sound guess.
Oh, my God.
Sound guess. Joke about Sarah dying. Sound guess.
Aw.
At least they'll remember you. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Nothing is in any event. Coming up today, we got a religious nutcase watch. It's good, by the way. Today's religious nutcase watch is good. Oh, we got a. Is it a double Darwin watch?
It more than likely is, yes.
All right, because stupid people never go alone. They always take somebody with them. Darwin watch coming up today. We got that new song. That guy who created that song about chicks who cut themselves. We got that song to play today. It's fantastic. He play, you weren't here for this. This is the thing you missed. Guy called me last week. Where's the email? I'll read this email in just a second. So we got the song about chicks who cut themselves. Top 5 today created by Scotty J, taking his life in his hands. It is the first day of summer. He has created the top 5 summer songs of all time list. Scotty J's top 5 songs about summer. I did put a sort of, there was a codicil that he could only use one Beach Boys song. Because it's like car songs, then it becomes nothing but Beach Boys. We're going to play the Connie Chung thing again because we just can't believe it ourselves. I've isolated part of the Connie Chung thing, by the way, the most horrific segment. I've just taken it out and isolated it for your pleasure. It really, I should make, what? Yeah, no, I should make it, I shouldn't have given that away. I should have made that the next mystery sound. What is this? But it's Connie Chung. What else? Oh, and big announcements. This week is the biggest week for announcements. There are now 2 announcements coming. You know the other one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that. Tim, did you know that way I was just mouthing there?
No, a little bit louder, please.
Yeah, but right into the microphone. Thank you.
Oh.
You can tell he's riveted with excitement. I don't think we're going to be able to do the other one today or tomorrow. I think they might have to both happen on Friday. I don't know. But here's the thing. Coming up on Friday, we have at least one announcement, which I cannot. And
it
is huge, and I really mean this. I cannot say what it is. I can't. In no way can I say what it is. It's huge.
I'm huge.
But that's going to be massive. And huge.
I'm huge.
That's coming up on Friday. We've all gone mental. That's coming up. I used to be so good at setting up the top of the show. Sarah's here. She can't laugh. She can't speak. She's dying of bird flu, and she's wearing a corset. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification.
Brittany and Kevin take separate vacations.
Oh.
Members of the younger set will have to find a new space after being kicked off of MySpace for being just too young. A New York man helps his wife commit suicide by leaving the engine of their minivan running right on a cliff. A woman survives after being dragged into a garbage truck that explodes.
Jesus God. I'm sorry, but she survived, so I can laugh. Oh, we're going to laugh about this someday. It's all part of life's rich pageant. 503-733-2970. It is the Rick Emerson Show. And do I have time to tell a zany anecdote about my shoes?
Sure.
That's not really all that zany. Sarah heard me bitching about this yesterday.
Did you find a place to buy some new ones?
No, I did not. I brought my bike. I brought my bike to work yesterday, but I didn't. I brought it on the bus. I woke up late. Didn't have time to actually pedal in. And it's always a wash, though, because in the bus, even the bus, which I do take sometimes because, you know, I got the road rage and I don't like the, you know, you sit there and you see and you're paying like $90 a gallon for gas. But even the bus, though, the bus is like in the same traffic as everybody else for the most part. So
I pace the bus on the way down.
I hate taking the bus because it's slow and you feel like a loser, but sometimes I don't want to drive. I don't want to pay like the $80 to park the car, but I don't have time to bicycle in because then you got to change and whatever. You got to try to make it look like you didn't bicycle in. You're all sweaty and whatnot. Anyway, so I put the bike on the front of the bus. I come in. I get here yesterday and I realize I have brought no shoes with me. So I've got the biking outfit. Like I got the, I don't have the gay hugging lycra thing, but I got like the shirt and then the bicycle shorts and then like my, and then my whatever they are, Steve Madden, whatever those things are, whatever the chicken Nordstrom told me to buy, the dress shoes. And you just can't bicycle home where you can't wear bike shorts and like it's Steve Madden leather dress shoes. It's not gonna, in no way can that work. It's not gonna work at all. I don't mean to, even if it didn't look horrible, you can't bicycle in those because that's you're begging for your feet to slip off the pedals and then you're going to go right into a train. It's all bad. So this is what I'm doing last night. An ostensibly grown straight man. I'm wandering around downtown yesterday, six different stores after work, trying to find a pair of shoes. And so I'm just all I need is a pair of goddamn shoes. What do you mean in black socks, Scotty? You just shut up about my black socks. Nothing wrong with black socks. I'm not wearing the thin kind. They have a relative thickness to them. No, so I get off the air yesterday and I gotta find a pair of shoes. So I walk to whatever. There's the Nordstrom and there's the Ross and there's the whatever. There's like three other stores. And of course, I'm walking around and I can't bring myself to pay like more than $25 for anything because all I need is a pair of shoes to get me home on the bicycle. I can't bring myself to wear a pair of sandals that I'm only gonna wear once. Your sandals are like $15. I'd never wear them again because I don't wear sandals ever. I'm just not what it's saying. They're sandal-wearing men, and then they're non-sandal-wearing men, and I cannot bring myself to wear sandals, so I couldn't buy those. So I'm standing there I'm looking at the whatever the rack of shoes at the Nordstrom, and I realize that even though I am a 33-year-old man with an actual job and a house and a car and a poodle and everything, I can't bring myself to buy anything but Chuck Taylors. I just can't. I tried to do it. And I just couldn't. I'm physically... This is how retarded my adolescence is. And I don't mean retarded like in a colloquial sense. I mean, literally, I am stuck in a stage of retarded adolescence. I have mentally not progressed beyond 15. That's where I am now, which explains a whole lot of things. Physically incapable of buying a grown-up pair of shoes. I had to call my wife and have my wife come downtown in the car and bring me a pair of shoes.
Oh.
That I could put on. That's it, man. That's how lame I am. Do you realize that the only pair of shoes that I almost bought, I did find one pair of Chuck Taylors, because it's nothing of my size. The only pair of Chuck Taylors I could find yesterday, which I ended up not buying, were $55 because they were artificially distressed, which means they look like they're used. You know what I mean? Like they're all torn and they're all scuffed up. You know, the label's all scratchy.
Did you find some shoes?
That's somebody else's foot stink? No.
Okay.
Sorry. Was I veering into tedium that no one cares about? Was I taking us all away from endless guesses about the mystery sound?
I was just daydreaming about some future vacation on a tropical island somewhere. I guess that discussion's over, isn't it?
Sorry. Let's go to the city desk with Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour.
$55.
And now, from the city desk, Tim Riley.
I won't pay it.
I won't. And I'm the first to admit, by the way, I do. I own those. What are they for the Gap? Those jeans that are destroyed. It just means they look used. Like they pay some migrant farm worker in the off-season $3 a day to sit there with like a cheese grater and abrade your jeans. I just can't do it when it comes to Chuck Taylors, though. It just seems morally wrong somehow. Can't wear artificially distressed Chuck Taylors. It's a crime.
No.
No one cares. All right.
Hello again from my top the where are we? The coin tower just of Portland, Oregon. CBS presents the City Desk News, baby.
Do they now?
Yes, they do. So let's get
proud to do so.
Let's get underway, shall we? All right.
Is this going to be one of those moments where we're all giggly and then you say, let's get underway, and then you go to like, thousands were killed.
I know, now I'm reshuffling what I was going to do originally. Let's find a story where somebody lives. So, okay.
Oh, Jesus.
A story where somebody lives.
Okay.
A Gresham motorcyclist has been busted for going 180 miles an hour on I-205. He's 19-year-old Max Mazur. He roared north along 205 near Sunnyside Road, but he was just going too fast, and they judged that any chase would endanger other drivers, so the cops let him go temporarily.
This is what I never...
Number and busted him at home.
180 miles an hour on what kind of motorcycle?
Does it say? I'm looking here.
I don't really know anything about motorcycles. All I know...
No, it doesn't say, so we're going to have to find that out.
I only know that, like, I only know about Ducati motorcycles. That's only because Hunter Thompson rode those.
He get a $1,100 fine.
And the cops did just let him go?
Well, yeah, because chasing him would endanger the public safety.
I always wonder about that, by the way. Did you ever get pulled over by a cop and then you, it's not a radar that he uses? It's like he said, well, I paced you. I always wondered about that. Because if you're going 70 miles an hour and it's presumably illegal because it's a danger, I always wonder about a cop who discerns your speed by following you. Because the deal is they get behind you and they accelerate until you are no longer, you know, leaving them behind. And then there are now two cars going 70 miles an hour. It seems like it's doubly dangerous. So it's always bugged me.
But he is the fastest speeder ever caught at an Oregon highway, so congratulations.
Really? Congratulations. Yeah. That other guy only held the record for like a week.
Yeah. So now we're going to have to break this.
All right. Dennis Pitzenberg will be stopping in later on. We'll have him speculate as to what kind of motorcycle that would be. By the way, we're not encouraging people to break that speed limit.
No.
That would be wrong.
Meanwhile, it's been determined baby boomer bikers have caused 67% of motorcycle deaths in L.A. County.
Well done.
Well, because they fall right in the middle of the road, and it's like hitting a big whale.
If you can keep that percentage boosted, by the way, I might be able to pay some fewer taxes in coming years. So I would encourage baby boomers to bicycle recklessly and without helmets because I want to keep more money for myself.
Apparently, there's an increasing ridership of older, inexperienced riders. And that
no.
May play a role.
Yeah, let's see. How can I get my masculinity back? Motorcycle. That seems safe. That's all of those guys. You know, Carlin talks about this other thing. So all those guys who get their bike trucked into Sturgis, and then they spend 3 days riding around like they just came in off a 1,200-mile road trip. You know what I mean? There's a guy with their huge, like Applebee's gut flowing over it as they're riding around on their Harley.
I could squeeze one leg into the jeans I wore back in my 20s.
No. You should obey all traffic regulations and whatever. It doesn't matter. And we all know these guys. These are the guys who got the same comb over. Mm. This is a cousin to the guy in the red convertible.
Yes.
And I was combing it over. Looks all fine till you're out there in the road. And then suddenly your hair is billowing behind you like a flag on the Queen Mary.
Meanwhile, a high-speed police chase in Columbia County ended in gunfire and the death of a suspect. It happened at 1 o'clock in St. Helens. When the cops tried to pull a car over in a traffic stop. The woman driving got out to talk to the cops, but police say her male passenger slid behind the wheel and took off. This was a Mercedes, so it should have been stopped if it was in St. Helens. Why would it be there?
How'd you earn the money for this Mercedes?
Police jumped in their cruisers and gave chase shots who fired at police from the fleeing car, but the chase ended. The chase continued until the cops cut off the getaway car.
Did somebody... But you said somebody died.
Yeah, they shot the guy, apparently.
They shot the guy driving?
Yeah.
What, was he? Is he sawing back or?
Well, speeding in a Mercedes through St. Helens in the middle of the night. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The driver shot himself.
Oh, really?
And died in the spot.
Okay. Well, then. All right, then. It all worked itself out.
I mean, how bad can your life be if you commit suicide in St. Helens?
It's the worst place to die.
I mean, think about it.
Just looking around, seeing acres and acres of bland, sandy nothingness as
at
the
bullets
jump
up
your brain.
A Hollywood sign. Take a little drive to the south and do something memorable.
A little scenic view of dying in St. Helens. Oh, God. Yeah, so there you go. I love stories that just wrap themselves up with a nice little bow at the end. And the driver took his own life.
Mm-hmm.
You just give that car a good hosing, goes to the auction block. We're ready to move on. Next.
Well, the president recognizes differences exist between the U.S. and European over Iraq, like nobody believes him. At a news conference following talks at an EU summit, the president talked about these differences.
Look, I fully understand we've had our differences.
I'm speaking to the huge flanger.
And I can understand the differences. People have strong opinions on the subject. But what's past is past, and what's ahead is a hopeful democracy in the Middle East.
No, this is still present. This is not in the past.
All right, apparently this is what in political circles is known as the spilt milk resolution. Sorry, are we interrupting your phone calls?
It could be your doctor.
My lunch.
Oh, okay. All right. Yes, could be the birth.
No, it's Nate. My friend lives in San Jose, and she's staying in a mansion, and she said that him and his band could stay, which is a very bad idea.
No. What? No, hold on. You can't just... Now, is the call gone?
Well, yeah, I just missed it.
Okay, now, okay. So, now what? So, Nate...
One of my best girlfriends, Jenny, moved down to California.
Is this Jenny that I know from Starbucks?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Nate, by the way, we've searched for a term of clarification. Nate is your occasional breakfast guest.
No. Nate's is my gentleman caller.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So, Nate is on tour with his band, the Altar Boys,
mm-hmm.
thealtarboys.com. And so, they are touring. They are in California?
Yes.
Okay. And so, this is Jenny.
And they've been, living out of their van. And so, Jenny... I talked to her this morning, and tonight they just so happened to be playing in San Jose, where she lives.
And she lives in a mansion?
Well, she's renting out a room in some mansion.
In a mansion.
What could go wrong?
Well,
can this four-man punk band live in this mansion?
And her roommate's out of town, so she's like, it's just me. They can stay here.
Okay.
And they've been staying in their van, so I was a little excited for
Okay. Them. Are you going to tell her that's a bad idea?
No.
Okay.
I'll let her figure it out.
Doesn't matter to me. I didn't pay the deposit. Okay. I'm sorry. So where are we? Oh, yeah. You can't cry over spilt milk.
Yeah.
And there's no sense in closing the barn door when the clock is whatever.
When the clown got off.
No. Okay.
Well, a Massachusetts woman says she feels very lucky to be alive. She was a victim of a bizarre incident when a dump truck barreled across the street, dragging Janice Allen's Jeep with her inside of it down a parking lot. The dumpster, a dump truck, then raced down a hill, crashed into a house, and burst into flames.
It's just the most insane image.
So, I can repeat this whole thing.
So
she's... A dump truck barrels across the parking lot.
Okay.
Ends up hitting Janice Allen's Jeep with her inside of it. Drags her down the parking lot. The dump truck then races down the hill with her Jeep still pinned under it, crashing into a house and bursting into flames.
God damn, and she lived?
She has cracked ribs and many bruises, but says it could have been much worse.
Buy a lottery ticket.
And I didn't see him. I did not see him, and then I heard the noise and bang. And I thought that was it for me. I thought I was going
to
die.
Do we have an explanation as to why this is like that fiery train in War of the Worlds?
It's believed the brakes on the dump truck may have failed.
Oh.
The investigation is ongoing.
You think you'd be checking those? Mm-hmm. All right, so there you're going to burst into flames. Somebody out there right now, Jerry Bruckheimer, is scribbling that down, and it's going to be the next Bad Boys sequel.
Staten Island, New York man is accused of helping his wife commit suicide by driving off a cliff. He is pleading not guilty. 34-year-old Victor Hahn was released on bail, and his lawyer says his client will now testify. Apparently, let's see, he did not speak to reporters. I'm trying to get this story here. Hahn said he tried but was unable to rescue his wife. He intentionally left her in the family minivan at the top of a cliff. She was killed after driving the van over the mountainside. Here he is.
I don't understand anything about
this. Well, he's being charged with essentially is with hindsight, not having sufficient judgment to know what his wife is going to do. We could all be there.
So he left the minivan with the engine running and a suicidal wife inside at the top of a cliff.
On the edge of a cliff.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So she hopped into the seat and threw it into drive and over she went.
Well, there you go. What can you do?
He faces two counts of reckless endangerment.
All right.
Two?
Why two?
Like the car?
Oh, there was somebody else in there who died.
Oh, I like he'd tag that. Oh, by the way, baby in the front seat.
Forgot about the baby.
I don't know if it was a baby. I'm not sure if it was a baby.
It was a baby. It's always a baby.
Oh, God damn. Oh. I didn't know that. I was just kidding. I don't believe you said that there was a baby. I thought it was all just sort of a... Again, I thought it was... Okay.
Oh.
I was... Yeah. See, let's...
No, they weren't hurt.
What?
They were not seriously. She was killed after
it went off a cliff, though.
Down the mountainside with her two young daughters inside.
Mm-hmm.
The children were not seriously hurt.
Okay, I was not appraised of this child development when I made the joke about the baby going off the cliff. That was just some comedic hyperbola. Blah 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 blah.
Well, it happened back east anyway. You're off the hook. If I was here, it'd be a different story.
Back east.
Yeah.
They don't do. They're not.
I mean, people are always killing each other with some silly thing.
Okay. There you go. In the future, I'm just going to assume that every story has a baby attached to it somehow. Should we break? Look at all these calls. Dan, George, Debbie. All right.
And the rest.
Zeke, Jim, Ted, there's a fire in the barn. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Coming up, we have a CNN radio correspondent, Ed McCarthy. Also, Jim Roop coming up later on. We will have Scotty J's top five summer songs of all time. What else? Another reading from the Green Apron book. Dennis Pitzenbarger is going to be in as well. And we have the song about chicks who cut themselves. You stay there. Back after this. Don't go anywhere. All right. She's demented in her own little way. I always used to do a segment called Random Crap That Was Said During Commercial Breaks. Like, I got into an elevator. I don't know, this is you ever come in halfway through a conversation? I was talking to Ryan across the hall about this. I got into an elevator a while back, and there was the elevator doors open, there's a couple of man and woman inside, and they were talking. And then as soon as they saw me, they kind of they shut up. Last thing that I heard as the elevator doors were opening and they saw me, the guy was looking at the woman. They were both in there, I don't know, I would say mid-30s, and the guy said, "It's okay, I said you were my sister." And it's like, there's so much wrong with that, and there's so many things I can just insert that into in my head. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Coming up, Ed McCarthy is going to be here to talk about something. What is he talking about? You asked me about a thing.
The national debt.
The national debt.
I really didn't know what I was talking about.
It's not the national debt.
The economy.
It was Skiller?
Oh, Skilling from Enron?
Skilling, there you go.
Maybe he killed himself. Not that that would be right.
No,
I'm just saying.
No, he didn't do it.
No, well, he considered it? Yep. Isn't that the story? He considered it, the Enron guy? Mm-hmm. All right. I'm not suggesting it would be right.
Enough.
No, your body is your temple, of course, mm-hmm. and it is an affront to the Almighty to harm yourself in that way. All I'm saying every day that guy's in the legal system, it's just money being taken out of my pocket. Apparently nobody's graduating anymore, and Americans are becoming even more stupid. Later on, Jim Roop will be here to talk about a huge, like, robotic drone-y sky plane thing that is now going to be surveying all of us. And taking photos of us in our most intimate moments. It's 503-733-2970. Let me get these calls, and then we'll move on. If you're on hold, I thank you for holding. We'll get to you in just a moment. Dan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hello, Rick.
Hello, Dan.
Rick, I've figured out your mystery noise.
You know, can I just tell you that every email that has come in the last 3 days, they all have this very cocksure air to them that I like. It's a whole lot of like, Rick, I'm going to save you the time. Here's what the mystery noise is. Here's the address. Please send me my prize. And they're all wrong, without fail.
I emailed you last night.
Okay, so you're one of those guys. Okay, you have a guess as to what the mystery noise is.
Let me demonstrate.
Okay. Hey, that's pretty good.
Sound good?
Yeah, do that one more time.
Hold on.
It's an octave higher.
Okay, so it's an octave higher. Okay, radio guy. It doesn't sound like the phase is correct on that. Did you do that at 16-bit? What is it? Okay, now... I'm going to dump that, by the way.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to... Just because it's unpleasant... Just because it... Okay, now hold on.
And because fines are going up.
Now hold on.
Okay.
Let's stop ourselves here. Now, as absurd as this is...
Yes.
Do you realize that we are now in like a reverse... We've now reversed the contest. Then I don't know what that was.
Oh.
I have no idea. Sarah, do you know what he's doing? What that noise is?
I don't know. I'm still kind of cringing from what he just said.
Yeah, I that was just probably permissible, but just an unpleasant image. So do the sound one more time for us.
Okay, hold on.
No. Tim?
No.
Do you have any idea?
I don't know.
But I have no idea what that is.
It's not our mystery sound.
Okay. Well,
see, this is becoming like some sort of thread in an internet chat room, and it's just expanding beyond. You can't even fit it on one screen anymore. Because now I want to create a sub-contest about what is Dan doing to create the impression of the mystery sound.
Oh. There's a whole new contest.
It really is. Okay, so...
It's a reality show inside of a reality show.
It really is.
Do you want me to tell you off air?
I honestly don't know. Here's what I'm going to do, Dan. I'm going to put you on hold.
Okay.
Scotty's going to get your like a phone number for you, okay?
Okay. I'm at work right now, so...
That doesn't matter. What do you do for a living?
I work in a cemetery.
Well, see, who's going to bother you there?
What does it matter?
Okay.
Get something done now. Get it done an hour from now. Who knows?
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to... What do you do at the cemetery?
What people usually do at cemeteries?
Have illicit underage sex while drinking? Not that I know anything about. I mean,
after the gates close.
Yeah.
And then you're burying people and you're selling body parts.
Replace
in California.
Replace long segments of femur with styrofoam and then sell the bone to a stem cell company. That's what happens in L.A.
Hey, there you go.
No, seriously, what do you do at the cemetery?
Cemetery duties. Burials.
Right, do you dig the hole?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
How long does it take to dig one?
How long does it take to dig a hole in a cemetery?
About 13 minutes.
Is that with the use of some equipment? You don't use a shovel anymore.
Is there like a template to make it square?
Yeah, there is a template.
That's
and we use a backhoe.
You use a backhoe and then you lay like some sort of a guide fence or something down?
Well, no, we strip the grass off and dig it with a backhoe bucket.
Now, are the graves actually 6 feet deep, or is that just a colloquialism?
Anywhere from 4.5 to 6 feet.
Does anybody come by to measure how deep the graves are?
No.
Do you have to, let me ask you this, do you have to use, is it true that there is a standard size casket and then a casket for fat people now?
Yeah.
Have you had to bury any really, really fat people?
Yes.
Is the casket a lot bigger?
I think it's about 6 inches wider than your standard.
Good God, that's one of those boomers that killed themselves on a motorcycle.
So they're baby boomer plots available.
it's totally what it is. Except they won't. Except you know that they'll have to have some horrible boomer name for it. They'll call it Strawberry Fields or something.
The Wide Glide.
Yeah, something.
Mayberry.
Dutyville. All right. Did anybody else have any grave-related questions? Sarah, do you have any grave concerns?
I think I'm doing okay.
You've detached from this whole conversation, haven't you?
I'm trying not to cough.
It's okay. You can cough. You know what it is? It makes you sound more real and relatable.
Do they still have paupers' graves?
Paupers? Like at the porn shop?
No. I
oh.
Well, like people who don't have money to be buried? Oh, that was a joke.
Does Sarah have a property?
No,
if you're poor. What happens if somebody dies and they're poor?
Yeah.
And this is fantastic. You know, like us did that Ask a Mexican a while back.
Mm-hmm.
This is like Ask a Guy Who Works in a Cemetery. So, yeah, so what if you die and you're just, you dirt broke? What happens? Do you have like a potter's field or whatever it is?
No, I'm pretty sure the state would take care of that.
Really? So that's fantastic. So I can just...
So you end up in a copy can or something?
Possibly.
Yeah. I guess. So how many, do you have a lot of woodsman deaths? Because I've been to the cemeteries and seen those, haven't you ever seen those gravestones that are made to look like giant tree trunks?
I actually haven't gone, I've only gone, I think, to one cemetery since I kind of left that phase of my life where I kind of go to cemeteries.
Off of Stark on like 24th and Stark.
I know you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, Nate and I wandered around there for hours once and there are just tons of woodsmen, or I think, is that what they're called?
Like loggers?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you have any of those weird trunks?
No.
Now, what's the oldest? Can you tell us what cemetery you work at?
I'd rather not.
Okay, no, that's fine. That's totally understandable.
Company policy.
No, that's fine. Scotty wants to know if you use Grave E on your mashed potatoes. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate
Why
that.
Why do you read what he writes?
You should hear the ones that I'm not. Does he work graveyard shift? Is another one on the screen that I chose to over. See, even Dan knows that's bad. All right, this is final chance. Any other grave questions? All right, I am going to put you on hold.
Okay.
Do you have a cell phone?
Yeah, but it's a piece of crap.
Well, that doesn't matter. So I'm going to put you on hold. Scotty's going to get your phone number because A, you did this fantastic mystery sound impersonation that we may use for something.
Right.
B, if we ever have any other grave questions. You'll note that I'm not reusing the grave concerns joke. We'll get a hold of you, and maybe you can answer those for us.
Oh, okay.
Great. Thank you, Dan. All right, I'm going to put you on hold. Don't go anywhere. All right, there you go.
Hope I didn't use somebody's bones to make that.
No. What if it was? What if it really was?
How do we know it wasn't?
Rick, would you like to hear what John Larroquette's spine sounds like when it's rubbed against a ping pong table?
Somebody's vertebrae?
Oh.
No, that's probably not what it was. Although he didn't want to tell us where he worked. Something about violation of policy.
Okay.
This is the best show ever.
Where's Ed?
George, are you on the... hello.
Yes, Rick.
Is this George from Wilsonville?
No, this is George from Oregon City.
Are you just saying that to avoid the sounder?
No.
Okay.
This is really George from Oregon City.
Okay, what's up, George?
A couple of things. First of all, I hope Sarah doesn't have the bird flu. That would be really bad, because I hear it's untweetable.
Oh,
Jesus Christ.
We'd be quarantined if they would lock the door to this room.
Yeah, seriously, you know what they would do?
You guys are coming down with me.
No, if they... let me just tell you, here's what would happen right now. If we found out that Sarah had the bird flu, Will would be outside the door right now with a welder, and they would just be like sealing us in here. And that'd be it, man. And we would just do the next 13 hours until the air ran out. And we'd be, phone lines are open. See?
Oh, no.
But we'd all be like that. It'd be like that scene in The Stand where the president's on television going, there is no super flu. Yeah. And we would totally be on the air, you know, just like as we were breathing our last, like, you know, our phone lines are 503. Caller, please get to your point. You know, that would totally be what it is. It's like Art Bell. Art Bell always used to. Is Art Bell alive still?
Yeah, he lives in the Philippines. He got this young chick in the mail order bride like the week after his wife died.
His young wife.
Yeah.
Seriously, his wife died and like a day later there was some girl in a box from like Manila.
And he was on his way. He was gone.
Yeah, I am leaving to go live in a hut. But he always talked about how like of a meteorite. Remember when Hale Bopp was going to destroy us all?
That was Art Bell's fault. I remember that.
Yes, it's Art Bell's fault that meteorites were going to destroy us all. But he had this whole thing about how he, somebody's like, well, Art, what would you do if you knew a meteorite was going to destroy us all? And he's like, I would continue to do the show until the final moments, until the, which always struck me as kind of cool. Like, I'd like to, I think I'd do that. What else do I have to do? I got no life. If a meteorite was going to come and destroy us all right now, let me ask you this. I know, George, you called a bit. Is that the extent of your call, was to say tweetable?
He said a couple.
No. I had one more thing, the guess for the mystery sound.
Yeah. Wait, this is my mystery sound or Dan's mystery sound?
No, it's yours.
All right.
And I don't know if it's been guessed yet or not, but how about a washboard?
Ah, that's a good guess. Do you think it's right?
Probably not.
Yeah, it's not right.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Have a good one.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay. There you go.
So, what was the end of that Umbop comic story that you were talking about?
No, I was going to say, but Art Bell was like, and if there was an asteroid, I can't do my Art Bell very well. He's not really on the air anymore, so I can't. It's
tell
hard.
Me what it sounds like.
No, it's actually. That's all I remember is that he started everything with the and there was a lot of East of the Rockies. Hello. Let me ask you this now. Who's with me? If a meteorite was coming and was heading right for this city, for the coin tower, and was going to destroy us all, and we knew it was going to happen at like 3:05 tomorrow, who's with me? You come and do the final broadcast right up until the last moments. If it was going to hit us at 2:58.
Well, it would be safe if we hit downstairs in Coin 6. You still have connections there. They're in the basement, aren't they?
No, let's say you wouldn't be safe. It was guaranteed that if you were here doing the program, you were it's guaranteed that it would destroy. But like, it was going to destroy us all anyway. Like, there's no safe place. I'm saying if a meteorite was headed for the world, the Earth, was going to destroy the entire planet, there is nowhere to hide. Everyone on Earth is going to be extinct. It's what we call a planet killer. And it's going to destroy the entire planet. And it was going to happen at like 2:58 tomorrow. This is, by the way, this is not really happening. We're just shades of Orson Welles. This is not happening. I'm just saying, what if? Would you guys come and do the final show with me? Up until these, would you come and live your last moments here as broadcasters?
So I'd bring people with me.
It's supposed to happen at 2:58?
Yes.
So if it's like, did we get to preempt like this? Or do we go?
No, I mean, it literally, the meteorite would hit us just as the show was ending.
Okay, sure.
Okay, Sarah?
If I could have the people that I cared about here with me.
Who? There's a limit.
Like my family
you
and
can't
friends.
Bring everyone.
Wouldn't you rather have them safe elsewhere?
No, but there's no safe place. This is going to destroy the whole planet.
Yeah. So see, I want to have
Janet.
Them here. Oh, stop.
Yeah.
Where's Ed?
I don't know.
Laura is screwing us again.
I don't understand what's going on with this program today.
I just booked him.
Are we still in the news hour?
Oh, we are, yeah.
Have we done any news?
Not for a while.
Now, there's the sound of Kelly Clarkson. I'm sorry, should we stop so you can take this? I'll just wait here.
It might be the insurance people.
No, it's fine. I'll just.
This is Sarah.
We're going to give you three extra dollars.
Oh, I'm good. How are you, Wendy? It's my therapist.
Oh, great.
I am on the radio right now.
That's okay. No, we'll listen.
No, I'm on my
phone. Sarah's talking to her therapist, Wendy.
They can hear me talking, not you.
Mm-hmm.
She sounds bright and upbeat.
Wendy does sound happy.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't have a car.
I bet she's
yet,
on
so
some sort of mood
car,
stabilizing drug.
So hopefully within the next couple of weeks.
Maybe the insurance.
I could drive you to your therapy.
Oh,
so
thank
to speak.
You, Wendy. Okay, you too. Bye.
How's your therapist?
She's wonderful.
All right, when is your next appointment?
I was supposed to have one yesterday.
Now, where, if I can ask, what general area is she in?
It's over kind of near the Hollywood District.
Ah.
So I don't even know.
You can bicycle there.
No, but it was right before, it was from 9
to 10.
Oh,
and there'd be no time to get here.
Yeah.
All right, okay.
And I can't figure out the buses, how to get there.
Okay.
What is this?
Sarah's pulling things out of her pocket now and unfolding them. Hey, kids, it's the Rick Emerson Show, a proud part of the CBS Radio family. I don't know what's going on anymore.
Well, it's like we're having lunch and we're waiting for the waiter to arrive with the menus.
Have you got a boy's phone number in your pocket?
Yes.
It says Kevin.
I don't even know who this is.
It's just a dirty napkin rolled up in her pocket.
I know what that's. We should call it. How did you? Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't say that out loud. How did you get that in your pocket?
I don't know. I meet people, not
it's
just
some New York.
He just wrote it down and gave it to you. Okay.
No, well, all right. These pants in New York. It might have been one of Colin's friends.
Let's move on. It's 503-733-2970.
It is nothing.
No, I'm just. I'm apologizing for taking the show momentarily down an unpleasant road there.
What is unpleasant?
Nothing. I thought you were shooting me a look.
No.
I thought you were shooting me a move-on look.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I really don't. It's embarrassing because I don't know who that is.
Okay, well, I apologize. I didn't mean to imply. No, maybe it was like an eye twitch. Maybe it's the flu has started to affect your central nervous system.
No, you know that I have to tell you everything. If there was some man named Kevin in my life, you'd know.
All right. Let me just say right now to everybody, I'm sorry.
What is going on?
So very... Very sorry. Let me just get a couple of these calls here. Hi, it's the Rick Emerson Show. Who is this?
This is Debbie the dog groomer.
Hi, Debbie the dog groomer. Do you know Jen the dog walker?
No, I don't.
Okay, there's a Jen the dog walker out there who listens to him.
Oh, all right.
Where do you groom at?
Cush's Canine Cleaners.
All right. Fantastic. What's up, Debbie? What do you got?
I got the sound.
You do have... Okay, what is...
I think it's one of those disposable box cameras.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good guess. Do you think...
You know, after you get all the way to the end, you just keep going. Ring,
yeah.
Ring, ring.
What does that sound again?
Ring, ring, ring.
I could almost see that. I think we should start instituting some sort of a punishment here where I get to do something to you if you're wrong. You know what I mean? There should be some sort of a, what do I get to? Well, it's too late now because you're wrong.
Well.
So unbelievably wrong. But it's a good guess, though. Here's what I would say is that disposable camera sound is, that is a little higher pitched than the one we've got here. But maybe if you were doing the disposable camera thing really slowly, maybe.
Well, I was just thinking it because it would be something that you might have down there at the radio station.
No.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
No,
you
but
gotta roll out some of this stuff because you're not going to have it around.
No, it's a very good guess, though. That is a very good guess. Unfortunately, incorrect.
Oh,
so.
Man.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to harsh your mellow.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Debbie.
Bye.
All right, there you go. Where's Ed McCarthy? Wasn't he supposed to call like 20 minutes ago? Do you suppose he knows that everything... Maybe he knows about the comet. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, it was a big deal last night. It was a lot of hoopla that turned into a lot of hooey.
It's a big deal an hour ago when we were supposed to have talked about it.
Angelina Jolie had this big interview with Anderson Cooper on CNN. And it was the most boring thing you could ever watch.
I didn't even know that it was happening.
As a matter of fact, she told us something we didn't know before, that in Africa, people are starving and dying.
There's a lot of changes, you know, that's happened, even just between the blacks and whites, so recently. They've just recently learned to govern themselves. But there are also pockets where they're really trying to pull themselves together, and we need to be there to really support them at that time, to help them to understand how better to govern. It really is a work in progress. It's not just going to happen overnight.
Yeah, we'll be right over.
Yeah. I'm not going to take a nap and have a light lunch first, but you know, we'll forward plan it. We'll put it on our Franklin for tomorrow.
What happened to all those songs about feeding the world and blah 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 blah?
I don't think it worked.
A couple of years?
No, none of those songs worked.
What did they buy?
Well, just like you get that, you know, tomorrow 2,000 women will race for the cure. You will not find it. You will cure nothing. I don't mean to be a negative Nelly, but I'm just saying that tomorrow we're going to do our very best to battle for the cure to breast cancer. It's not going to happen.
It never does.
You don't know. Nothing ever gets. Next week we do the same thing. Nothing gets cured. So there you go. We're going to bound together to fight world hunger and fail. That's always, you know, it's like you do the fortune cookie thing, blah, 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 in bed. The next time you see something about, like, we're going to be racing through the park and collecting donations to fight multiple sclerosis, and they put, like, and we will fail. Nothing will be cured by you. Nothing. Nothing at all. Not Sarah's bird flu. Nothing. You just look, Sarah, looking so sad. You're just sort of dejected in the corner, wheezing away. I'm sorry.
Well, Adam Sandler returns to the big screen this weekend in a new comedy, Click, which nobody will see.
Oh, joy.
He says he's always been known for playing the fool.
I like being a moron. I've been called a moron since I'm about 4. My father called me a moron. My grandfather said I was a moron. And a lot of times when I'm driving, I hear I'm a moron.
That's a fascinating interview. He seems like a very compelling individual.
Yes.
I don't know anything about this film. I won't be seeing it ever.
Maybe feel better if he helped up starving Africans.
Do you want to know about it or not?
No.
He has a remote control that can, like, control his life.
There you go. That's I kind of know about that.
Those SNL people kind of burn out after a couple of films.
It's true. They've all got their one, you know, Night at the Roxy, and it's all downhill after that. The only reason I know about this Adam Sandler film is because a couple years ago, it was originally supposed to be called Remote Control, which kind of freaked Joni DeRoshi and I out a little bit, because not that like the two are going to be confusing our two films, but I just didn't want to be putting out a film because, you know, we put out a movie, a short film, about a year and a half ago called Remote Control, and I didn't want the title to be over, you know, shadowed by Adam Sandler. I was like, I don't have to find another title, but then he changed his title. He blinked, and he changed it to Click. It doesn't matter. Nobody's going to see it, though. Boy, and let me just tell you about Nacho Libre, how happy I am just to see that thing imploding and just cratering like a cinder. Boy, the reviews on that have just been excoriating. I mean, I know it won't stop everybody at the mall from trading in their Vote for Pedro shirts and going out and picking up like a Mexican wrestling mask, but man, that... The writing partnership of Jared and Jerusha, or just Jerusha, wacky Mormon named Hess, that seems to be at an end. That their streak appears to be over. So have fun with that.
I'd rather have a Viva Vendetta mask anyway.
I would rather have 10 penny nails pounded into my forehead with a shoe and then be set on fire. That's what I'd rather have. So, and V for Vendetta, by the way, is at the Baghdad. I encourage everybody to go see it multiple times.
It still is?
I'm trying to get my wife to see it because she hasn't seen it yet.
Oh, she would love it.
She's resisted because of because it looks, from the marketing, action, sci-fi, blah, blah, blah. To be fair, there's some action, a little bit of sci-fi, but it's not like Armageddon. You know what I mean? This is not Blade Runner. I mean, that's actually wrong. It kind of is closer to Blade Runner than... I mean, it's not Star Wars, is my point. So I'm trying to get her to go see it. She tried to go see it last night, but she was too late and she missed it, and blah, blah, blah. But you ought to go see that. It is at the Baghdad right now, I believe. All right.
Since we're not...
All right. Okay, I'm taking line four. hi, John.
Yes.
What do you got?
Guy that called in with the mystery sound, I know what it is.
Oh, that's grave-digging Dan, who called in with the mystery sound. He was attempting to emulate our mystery sound.
Well, his mystery sound is a ruler being snapped on the edge of a table and drawn in.
Is that correct, Scotty? Is that the... Scotty is going to be telling us whether that... Oh, that is right. Okay, huzzah, you win nothing.
I knew that because we used to make that sound to simulate...
I appreciate that. Thank you, John.
Your mystery sound, however, my guess is that it's a roulette wheel.
You know, let me just tell you this about that. Hold on. Where's my...
Well, why don't you...
I'll just hold on. Let's all hold our horses. Okay, look at it. Listen to this now. You are guessing, John, that the mystery sound... You were correct about Dan being snapping the ruler and then drawing it in on the edge of a desk. Here is an email I got yesterday. This is from our good friend Lord Gore Dave. He fronts that band, Lord Gore, and the subject line is all caps, like 80 exclamation marks, like an ampersand for good measure. And then it's filled with profanity, and then it says, Rick, it is a goddamn roulette wheel for the last time. This is Lord Gore Dave, pleased to be giving me my prize. P.S. Sarah's boyfriend is making a big mistake, letting her step out with that metrosexual money whore. Anyway, but here's the thing, not a roulette wheel. So there you go. Sorry about that. Okay. But you did get Dan's, you know, right? All right.
Okay.
All right, cool. There you go. Thank you. All right. Okay. That's what you said there. Okay. Like, it sums it all up. That is not a roulette wheel. Okay. Big overture, little show. Okay. All right. 503-733-2970. Yeah, not a roulette wheel. There we go. It's 503-733-2970. Do we know where Ed McCarthy is?
I can read a story from Georgia if you want. That'll make you feel better.
I can't even do... I can't do an Ed McCarthy impression, or I would...
I know. I really don't see what's so difficult. I booked him, like, exactly an hour ago.
This is the fault of Laura Caviezel at CNN, is it not?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. What is Laura's problem? Is this because she's engaged?
She's kind of flaky, you know?
All right. Is this because... Do you think she's flaky in general?
Well, she was throwing some accusations toward you, too, saying that rumor around the CNN mill is that... You might have a little crush on Lisa Goddard.
The rumor around what? The CNN mill? Is that like the CNN water cooler?
I guess so.
Is that like the rumor in the CNN coffee shop?
It was hearsay.
How? Okay.
Well, if nobody else is listening to your conversations between you and Lisa, it must be Lisa spreading that.
Thank you.
No other CNN correspondents can hear it.
Do you suppose they all get together and have like conference calls?
They may all work in a room about this size, for all we know.
That is true. You know, they make it sound... How do we even know that she's really in Washington, D.C.? It could be like they literally could all just be working out of one tiny closet-sized space.
It's been done before. Yeah. You can fit three people in a small space.
It's true. We could probably... We should do that someday as a kooky radio bit. You know, where, like, you know, they stuff co-eds into a phone booth. Mm-hmm. We should totally... we should see how many people we could pack into this room right here. Just totally see how many people we could... Get into the studio. That's a great idea.
Yeah, a good idea.
All right, note to self. Somebody out there remember that for me.
Maybe we should break.
I really honestly don't know whether we should break. I don't know whether we should do more calls. I don't know whether I should just kill myself right now. I've got nothing.
Why don't we break? Because Dennis is going to be here at 2:15.
Let's take a gander forward at here's what's coming up today. All right, did we do that? All right, here's the deal. We've got, let's see. We've got the Week in Geek. Don't thank you for reminding me about that. I feel bad, not badly. I do feel bad because I failed to play Week in Geek, which is from Aaron, the geek in the geek in the city. Forgot to do that. So I got to do that like today. Got to play the Week in Geek.
We have Dennis Pitzenbarger is going to be later. We have, supposedly, Jim Roop, although, you know, since Ed McCarthy has failed to materialize, who knows. I have all of these calls about various things to get to. What else? I have the song about girls who cut themselves. And the top five summer songs is picked by Scotty J. And stuff. All right. Big announcement coming on Friday. You got to be listening. Huge. So big, I can't even... Really, when this announcement comes on Friday, if it does not make you feel good, then I want your life, because clearly you are numb to all things joyful. Let's break now. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You stay there. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. Back after this, you can.
How low can you go? Death row.